Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Twins win today, impressively, on our airwaves. 10 a.m. start on that game because it was Patriots Day, Marathon Day, not Ukraine Day, as we found out. But they won, and that's the main thing. They needed to win, and they got to win. Jorge Polanco, 4 RBI. Twins go to Kansas City tomorrow. Joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline to talk about tomorrow night's game here on WCCO. That would be the Timberwolves and Memphis game, too, and much more. Pooh Richardson, always good to visit with you. I'm watching Toronto and Philadelphia as we speak, and I'm thinking, you're a Philly kid. Did you ever want to play for the Sixers?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, as a young guy, and then plus me being from South Philadelphia and walking distance of the facilities, it was one of those stories that never came true. But that was all right.
Who were the star players when you were growing up that inspired you? Was it Dr. J?
Yeah, of course. Dr. J, Maurice Cheeks, Andrew, Tony, you know, just all those great players. From Doug Collins, used to love Doug Collins, Bobby Jones, really good teams. We had some good teams in Philly.
They said the Doc and George McGinnis were tough to play together, even though McGinnis was really good too. Did you like McGinnis?
I like George McGinnis, but I just thought the mix with him and Doc wasn't good. It wasn't good, I thought Darryl Dawkins was good. I mean, we had some good players.
Oh, Caldwell really Jones good. In the middle?
Yeah, and then they went on acquired Clement Johnson later. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have some good players. Clint Richardson, we have some good players.
Yeah. Well, Pooh, we're watching the playoffs here, of course, with the Timberwolves' eye on what's going on. And, of course, they beat Memphis in game one and really kind of put them back on their heels. I mean, you know, you kept waiting for Memphis to make that big run that they never made. What were your assertions of what happened in game one? And does that tell you anything about the series, or does it not matter until we see how Memphis adjusts?
Well, Memphis will adjust, especially playing in the grindhouse. But what happened was Cat happened. Mm-hmm. Carl Anthony Towns happened. When you have a big like him that can do it from the inside, outside, and he mixed it up on him, I think he's too much to handle for any of those guys on that team. He's just really too much to handle.
So you think they've got their matchup, what they want? I mean, obviously Edwards was great too, but you're saying as you look at it from a basketball player's perspective, if Towns is on, they don't really have an answer for him.
Well, he don't have to be super on. It's just being aggressive. Mm-hmm. If he's being aggressive and attacking and stay engaged, I know the playing game, a lot of people was talking about the playing game. He had fouls, and I was telling people, you know, don't worry about it because, you know, that's a learning experience. He's still young. He's still a youngster as well. And talking about Edwards, you know, just let him just do whatever he's going to do. Just let him just run free. Let him run free, do whatever he's going to do, and let him be the guy he was at Georgia. So let him do his thing.
I suppose for a coach sometimes it's harder because you know you got to let him go, and at the same time he'll take some shots that might drive you nuts, but you have to be patient enough to live with that, right?
No question. That's part of developing a youngster, because what happens through the course of even a season or maybe a few seasons, he will learn what's a good shot, what's a better shot. You know, the difference between a good shot and a better shot is where you want to get him at. But because he has such great talent, you know, super athletic, you know, worked on his jump shot, you can tell he's been a little bit more consistent. And when you have to respect that, there's no one one-on-one going to hold him down because his athletic prowess is too good. So I think you just got to live with the good and the bad with him. But it's going to be more good than bad.
Pooh Richardson, our guest, how do you take on Morant? What do you try to do to him?
Well, I think in screen and roll situations, I think you got to trap him, and I think try to take the ball out of his hand. I know it's easier said than done. I think when because he's a one-on-one player, he's really good, he's super talented. You know, I love everything about him, and I think he's fearless. I think with Cat inside, you know, once he beat the first line of defense, you know, if Cat stay aggressive, you know, block some shots or just have a big presence in the paint, and you trap the screen and rolls, I think you pre-rotate. Which means that once you see the screen happen, you immediately trap, and then you send the weak side to come rolling over to the roll man. And that'll take the ball out of his hand and force him to throw it actually cross-court, which means that now you got to throw the ball to two different people before he gets it back. And
sure.
That's important.
Yeah, and then you do the math for people that don't understand. Then you do the math on a 24-second clock, and it becomes very difficult.
No doubt. There you go. That's exactly what you would do with him. That's what I would do with him.
Now, Pooh,
play one-on-one.
Yep. He wants to isolate all the time, right?
Yes.
Now, in the playoffs, is it a lot different? Do you throw out what happens during the regular season between two teams? Do those matchups mean nothing? Do they mean anything?
I don't think they mean anything. You know, because normally in the playoffs, the teams that prevail are always getting the X-factor guy, a guy that's normally an 8 to 10 point guy, he'll get 16 or he'll get 18 or, you know, he explode one game and that gives you just that step, that one step ahead, only because when you're scouting during the playoffs, because it becomes really condensed, the scouting reports, and you really focus on the main guys, but it's normally a guy that you don't really focus on, who might be just a marginal guy, not even a marginal guy, because all NBA guys are really good players.
Yeah.
But it's a guy who's good, like I said, gets 6 to 8 points, and all of a sudden he's getting 14, he's getting 16. When you get those kind of points in the playoffs, you double it, because it means twice as much. If a guy averaging 4, he gets 8, that's just as equivalent as 16 if you get 8 in the playoffs. Mm.
Okay, so you got to know Patrick Beverley when he was out there in L.A. playing for your former team, the Clippers. And obviously, he's if you've watched him throughout the year, Minnesota fans have really taken notice. They've watched the last couple of games as to what he is. He probably is more of an irritant in the playoffs, but he's also a player. Who is Patrick Beverley from an NBA player's perspective?
Well, I think he's tough. He accepts challenges. He doesn't back down. And he wears motion on his sleeve. And he's a team guy. And, you know, he's a blue-collar guy. He just works hard. You know, he don't have a lot of finesse things or a lot of skill-wise to his game, far as what we see or people from the outside or as a fan see as skills, like a great shooter, no. A great ball handler, no. A super passer, no. You know, but he's a great defender. He's a great leader. He's athletic. And he's tough. And that's what you need in the playoffs. He's tough.
Somebody told me that they thought he made Carl Anthony Towns a lot better player by bringing out a toughness in Carl Anthony Towns, because Carl did kind of flip a switch during the year. Do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, I think it's accurate, and I think he gave I think by him being around, I think he and he's been around a lot of players and a lot of good players, Beverly has, and I think it helps Edwards as well. You know, I will Edwards as well. You know, I will say, and even though Cat has turned to switch, and Beverly, I think Beverly did play a part, and I think a lot of the misunderstanding, that was the same thing that Jimmy Butler was trying to do.
Yep.
I don't know if he.
That's a good point. That's what he was looking to do. It didn't work out, but that's what he was trying to do, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that was the whole thing. And I think as you get older and you start, see, when you're young and you playing in the NBA, because I was a young guy also playing in the NBA. But when you're a young guy playing in the NBA and you don't have people around you that's trying to explain to you exactly what's going on, and they leave and it's left up to you to just to figure it out yourself, most of the time you're going to figure out wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if there was people around, and I don't know who has who around, but I'm just saying if it was people around, they'd say, you know, Jimmy's only trying to do this. He's only trying to get this out of you. He's only trying to, you know, because he's been there. He know having you will elevate the team, you know, if you had this kind of mentality. And sometimes you don't get it as a youngster, because I've been there. I've been there with Coach Musselman. I wasn't getting it as a youngster. But as time go on and you see it, you say, oh, that's what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And
Pooh Richardson, our guest, do you have to dial that back and say, it turns out it really wasn't personal, because is the tendency to take it personal when you're young?
Yes. A big tendency to take it personal, because here's what happens in the NBA, and I explained this one time when I was talking to some people when I was back there. A coach have a philosophy, and normally it doesn't make sense for you early, because you just used to playing college and rolling the ball out, and the best players play, and you go out and you perform and you do well, and you play and you get your minutes, you do all that other stuff. But when you're being tested for your intestinal fortitude and stuff like that, you know, everybody's out there trying to win a job or get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are being tested and no one is really helping you out to understand what coach is doing, it's easy to take it personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to take if a player who's had experience like a Jimmy Butler telling you certain things and the way he's doing it, it's easy if no one in your ear said, man, he's just trying to get this out of you. He's just trying to do this, man. Just be patient. Don't worry about it. You know what? You'll be fine. Like, sometimes you need that. You need that reinsurance.
Yes.
So now all of a sudden you feel you're backed up in the corner. It's only you fighting for yourself.
Yes. And if somebody tells you that, then you say, okay, this guy wants to see me be better. He's actually on my side. Exactly. And once you tell me that, now I'm all in, right?
Oh, now you're all in. Yes. Now you're all in. And like I said, we've done the same thing. Well, when you playing for an expansion team, like the times when I was playing, my first year or whatever, and Coach Musselman is, you know, massaging me, testing my intestinal fortitude. You know, it was guys on my team who played for him in the CBA that never came to my rescue and say, hey, man, he's only trying to do this. So I felt I was by myself.
Sure. Absolutely. Makes sense. I think it's true. I think it's true anywhere. Yeah. Yeah, I remember. I mean, I won't take this too far down, but Jerry Kramer, who just went to the Hall of Fame for the Green Bay Packers, is giving his Hall of Fame speech, and he's talking about Vince Lombardi. And he says, I don't know if I'm on foot or horseback. I don't know if I'm progressing or regressing as a player. And I'm sitting in the locker room one day, and I had just had a bad practice, and coach was all over me, and he comes up to me in the locker room. I've got my face turned towards the locker, and he says, let me tell you something, son. when you are on the verge of becoming one of the greatest offensive linemen in this game if you just keep doing what we tell you. And he says it changed everything because up to that point, I thought that I was in his doghouse and I didn't realize what he was seeing.
That's right. Because they've been there, and they've been there longer than you. They've seen more. They've been in yep. more situations. And sometimes we don't get it. But I think Cat is getting it. He's doing well, and I'm so happy for him. He's such a great kid. Man, great kid. Great young guy. Great young guy, and is nothing but, you know, he truly don't have a ceiling.
That's pretty good news to get that. Last question, Doc Rivers, another guy you know from the East Coast that you know, Clippers, everything else. How good a coach is he?
Doc is a really good coach. I think Doc is a good coach. I think Doc, he liked players that play hard, play defense. You know, kind of like the old New York Knicks teams where he played on. If you could play defense and you do everything you do, mistakes or no mistakes, if you do it with energy, I think Doc he'll let you go. He'll let you roll. He make in game adjustments. So I like Doc. I think Doc is a really good coach.
Pooh, always great stuff tonight, as always. Really interesting to get your perspective and a thought pattern that I hadn't followed before, but Butler and Beverly, that's a very interesting analogy. Thank you so much, and I hope we can call you again during the playoffs.
Oh, no problem. You know, anytime. Go Wolves, man. That's it.
I'm hearing you. That's not Boo. That's Pooh, as in Pooh Richardson. More when we come back on Sports to the Max. Elvis left the building the other day in Memphis. Timberwolves found a way to win and now set the stage for game two tomorrow. We'll have a kind of an extended, I don't want to call it pregame, but certainly sports coverage from 6 to 7. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll pick it up the pregame show. Kevin Lynch will be amongst my guests tomorrow night. We'll hear from some of the Timberwolves players and Memphis participants since this is such a big game for both teams. And, yeah, we'll see if we can find somebody there to help us and see if we got a friend in Memphis. Best movie ever made in Memphis, based on a book. Tubbsy, what was that one with Tom Cruise? The Firm.
The Firm, yeah.
I think it's the only movie I've ever seen made in Memphis, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't think they make many in Memphis.
Let me Google.
Yeah. There's about four or five Tom Cruise movies that I love to watch. A lot of his stuff that's abstract, Mission Impossible, some of that stuff I'm not into. But when you start talking about Top Gun, obviously the comparisons to me and Maverick are going to be, you know, I grew up in the same era, so obviously people are always saying, hey, man, you remind me of Maverick.
Mm-hmm. I could see it.
Yeah.
I could totally see it. Maxie, I mean, you put the two of you side by side, I can't tell the difference.
That's what I'm saying, man.
You know?
And boy gets girl, you know, older woman, cougar, yep, that's all. You might as well do my life story if you want to do it, yeah. Crying out loud. But give me some royalties next time.
Cougar hunting, the Mike Mack story.
But
you're an avid hunter, Max.
Avid hunter, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, so, but, that took a turn.
The Firm, I like. Top Gun.
Yeah.
A Few Good Men, I loved. Cocktail, I really liked. What else is there? I mean, I know he's done many.
Interview with a Vampire? No, not so much?
No.
Okay. I was just looking at movies that were...
Memphis originated?
Yeah. It was obviously The Firm.
Firm, yep.
Yeah, The Firm was there. Walk the Line, the one about Johnny Cash that had Reese Witherspoon in it.
Okay, yep.
She's
a short actress, by the way, like 5'2" or something like that.
Great Balls of Fire was filmed there.
Okay.
I did not know that.
Nope.
Let's see what we got here. Christmas at Graceland. Well, obviously.
Yeah.
What
else could that be, right?
Memphis and Hustle. Yes. So, see, now they're just getting into the basic ones. So, yeah, it's not a whole lot there, but.
But The Firm had it all.
It
hooked you, and then there was adventure, and they played to the city well, and that was just awesome. Same with A Few Good Men. You know, they're playing softball in D.C. and, I mean, all that stuff. I love that stuff. And he is so good at those movies. And of course, Top Gun was... Oh, I know the other one, Risky Business, right?
Oh, Risky Business.
Everybody's seen Risky Business. That's I think that was his first one, right?
You know,
I think that came before Top Gun and the rest.
You know, I don't know.
Okay, but it was good.
Yeah, I mean, it was the one that I don't think a lot of people remembered Bob Seger before that. Because that was the one, you know, that old-time rock and roll.
Yep.
I don't know if that was Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band or just Bob Seger.
Yeah, that song. And then in Top Gun, you never close your eyes anymore. You know, he made that one famous,
Brothers.
Too. The Righteous Brothers.
Righteous
absolutely.
Brothers, yes. Now we're playing Name That Tune.
All right. Now, when we come back, we'll talk volleyball. Why is it not a boys' sport sanctioned in Minnesota, and will it be soon? It seems that that might be the fair way to do things. We'll talk about it when we come back. Welcome back. Joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, Walt Weaver, who has been fighting fearlessly and tirelessly to try to get to bring to fruition the dream of many, and that is to have boys volleyball recognized as Minnesota State High School League sanctioned sport. Walt is a storied and legendary coach himself. Back in the day, the Apple Valley girls team, he took to state titles and coached the professional team, the Phillies, here in town, and did much more. Walt, when you were coach of the professional team, was Annie Adamczak on that team? Because she just went into that Hall of Fame. I saw her and I thought, did she play professional volleyball here for a bit?
She did. It was part of her career as a major volleyball player, and rather through high school, through college, for everything. She certainly was worthy of that award. But yeah, she was a member of the Monarchs during the time that I was a part of the franchise.
The Monarchs, yes, absolutely. Now, Walt, the task at hand is something that you've been working on for quite some time, and not just you. There have been some others with you side by side. Where are we at right now as we go down the stretch to try to get volleyball approved as a boys' sport for next year?
All right. Well, it was a long, tedious process, and I don't want to bore your audience with a lot of details, but the bottom line is, we have managed over the past 5 years to build the enthusiasm for this to the point where we have gotten it to the representative assembly, which is the high school league's process last step.
Okay.
And we got it to that step last year. It was tedious and lost the vote. We needed a two-thirds majority of that group. There are 48 of them. And they've got two-thirds of them have to vote yes to move it on and become a sanctioned sport in the high school league. So we got the majority, but we lost by two votes. And so at that point, many of them that voted across the state said, you know, if you bring it back next year, it's probably going to pass. So it was a tedious process getting it back there. But right now, the vote is on the 10th. We're encouraged. We have right now, Mike, there are 1,400 kids playing right now in a spring club league that we designed 5 years ago to prove that there was interest. And that club league has every year has grown and grown and grown and grown. And this year it almost doubled from last year. So there are 1,400 kids sitting out there wanting to play. And because that club league was designed to prove interest, its job is done, and so it will not exist next year. And so if the high school league was not to do this now, to sanction it, which they really should with this type of interest, these boys would have nowhere to play, and all the future boys that want to play would have nowhere to play. So we're hoping that this is a year, and that's where it is right now. The vote's on May 10th.
Hugh McCutcheon has lobbied for it. Rocco Baldelli has lobbied for it. Governor Walz has lobbied for it. You've had a lot of oomph behind this.
Yes, and you know what? Interestingly enough, most of your listeners probably know who Karsh Karai is.
Yeah.
And he, you know, Jordan Thompson is on his team. She's a major female volleyball player from the United States and for the United States team that he coaches. Well, anyway, he weighed in today. I talked with him, and he's going to respond to the representative assembly with support also. But, you know, just, yes, the support outside of the Minnesota State High School League from the public, from legislators, to, as you said, to some of the major pro sports people. There's just been a ton of support, and it continues building. It's more and more every year. But the bottom line is, you know, it's these boys that that make a difference. And, you know, when you get involved with them and you see them playing and you see them in their schools wanting to play for their school like their sisters do, it's just, you know, it inspires you. I've been inspired doing this.
Well, you know, and Walt, I guess I didn't realize until boys volleyball came around, and then to add to that, fishing leagues, trap leagues that have formed the same way as club sports, basically, I didn't realize the power of the letterman's code, I call it. And that is, you can play club sports, and people would say, well, just keep playing club, what's the difference, blah, blah, blah. There is something so identifiable, and in our DNA we have created, that you want to represent your school. You want to be able to win a letter, and you want to say, this is my sport. I understand, you know, you may play this sport, you may play this sport, maybe you play multiple sports, but you want something that is a part of the school that you get your picture in the yearbook for. And I didn't realize how strong that feeling was and how much passion there was to represent your school and to be a piece of what everybody else that gets to play a sport is a piece of until I saw volleyball.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know it from experience. I mean, you were a major.
Can't imagine my life without, you know, playing for your school in sports, you know?
That's right. And so, no, and I know what you mean about all of a sudden you kind of see it, because I'm dealing now with families on a regular basis that have a son playing and listening to them tell me how important it is for that kid and for them. You know, to be part of their school and do this. It's a major part of it all, and there's a ton of families right now, more and more and more all the time. And I just feel that it's, you know, I think that the high school league has got to recognize, too, that that all, you know, most of the people are voting were athletes in high school. They're mostly ADs.
Yeah.
You know. They know how important it is to play for your school. And so you just got to hope, you know, they have a tough job. I don't want to take anything away from AD's job. And you know, I know that it's not an easy thing for them to add a sport and everything. But where this is right now and how far it's come and how many kids, you know, I just think they've got to understand that it's time has come here. And, you know, if I was a parent right now, in a school, I talk to them, and they're doing this. But now's the time to go to your school administration and say, you know, it's time for these boys to have a chance to do this. And I think if the, you know, if parents start making themselves vocal in their school about this, who are involved, there's a lot of them out there. You know, it's going to make a difference too. So.
What would hold it back at this juncture, Walt? What would be the, you know, is there a reason that you needed to overcome that you have now or that you still scares you? What would it be?
Well, right now, it's I don't know about holding it back, but right now the major interest is in the metro. So right now, these 1,400 kids, there's enough school. There's over 50 schools. There's enough schools and enough kids in the metro to do this right now. And that's why these metro regions, you had to get the majority of metro regions to support it, administrative regions. And there, six of those have come from the Twin Cities, and these 1,400 kids play mainly for those groups. So the seven-county metro is pretty much at this point with the schools and with the regions behind it. But the outstate schools and the people who right now, there's, you know, they don't have teams playing in this league. There isn't a ton of boys in their school that are talking to them. They have their issues, and so they have not been on board. But as you and I both know, if it's sanctioned, they don't have to say, you know, they don't have to put it in their school.
No, you could pair and share. You could find a different place to play if you want, right?
Well, the kids will have trouble finding a place to play, but they don't have to put it in the high school In other words, a school doesn't, once it's sanctioned.
Just because it's sanctioned doesn't mean you have to offer it. Not every school offers all the same sports. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So what we have to do, what has to happen, because you need a two-thirds vote, some of those schools and regions, let's call them regions because that's where they are, these delegates are from regions, some of those have got to say, look, okay, we might not add it, but let's not stand in the way
That's right. And so like where I grew up, we didn't offer hockey. Well, that's just the way it is, right? Not every school offers every sport, even though you could if you wanted.
Right. But those eight ADs in those schools or in those regions, they've got to say, look, you know,
for the betterment of mankind, so to speak. Yep.
And that's, I mean, we, you know, that's what's got to happen with this. It's got to be vote for the greater good, you know, for all of the kids, not just the local issue that you might have in your school and not want to add it. And this delegate assembly, that's the delegate's job. The region's job is to say, okay, for our region, we don't want this. Well, we got enough of them. So now we're at the delegate assembly level. And their job, those delegates' job, is to say, what does this vote mean for the greater good of the kids? And there, like I said, there's enough right now. I mean, we talk about 1,400 kids. That's a lot of boys.
Yeah.
And it grows. It's, you know, like I said, it's almost doubled this year. It keeps expanding, and there's tons of people out there now. So, you know, they've got to give those kids a chance, I think.
Walt, I'm with you. Keep us posted as it gets closer.
I absolutely will. I really appreciate the time, Mike.
Well, you guys have done great work. You and there's two ladies that you know very well down in Shakopee that have been pretty good, too.
Yes, Jenna and Krista. Yep. Without them, this would never be happening. So,
yep. You guys just keep doing what you're doing, okay?
All right. Good enough, Mike. Thanks for the call.
You bet. Walt Weaver, what a job he's done. Jenna and Krista have been outstanding as well. When we come back, the number one role, I think, of an athletic director. Stay with us. I think the number one objective of athletic directors is the same number one objective of administrators, the State High School League, and those of us that are adults, and that is to give our young people every opportunity to succeed that we can. Now, in sports, you know, I'm a big believer that if you look at sports as an extension of education, it's some of the best classes that your kids can ever take. Competing. Being with other people in stressful situations, having teammates that you don't like, playing for a coach that you don't like or do like, kind of can help define where you want to go in life because it will tell you the people that you gravitate to and how to deal with those that you don't enjoy or respect. But we need to give them as many opportunities as possible to subject themselves to both the good, the bad, and the ugly that goes with competing in sports. And generally speaking, there are very few regrets for those people that participate in sports, even if it didn't go as well as they would like, and it usually doesn't go as well as you would like. But at the end of it, you're thankful that you went out for the sport and you gained something from it. So with that in mind, I just believe that all of us need to encourage every opportunity we can for kids. We don't know what it is that they might like. They might not want to run on the track team or play on the baseball team. But you know what? Volleyball might have an appeal for them. So now all of a sudden they got a group, they got people, they got a game to look forward to. And on top of that, they got stress that goes with it, the pressure that you feel, the anxiety that goes with performance. And they got to figure out a way to deal with that. Isn't that a great teacher for life? So we're just looking at all these teaching tools. It doesn't redefine who you're necessarily going to be, but it can redefine your path and redefine the way that you think if you participate. But you have to participate in the sport, and you have to see how hard it is to be good. I've often said that one of the greatest things about sports is being humiliated and then having to make a decision as to whether or not you come back the next time and try again, or having that bad weekend, those three bad games, and feeling just awful. And then by Monday saying, okay, I got to figure this out and I got to find a way to do it. And then failing again and saying, but I'm not giving up because quitting's not an option. Those are the things that come from participation. And the more things we can offer kids to participate in, particularly right now coming out of COVID, because so many of them have been depressed and derailed and have gone down wrong paths, hopefully just temporarily, during the COVID depression that has afflicted so many teenagers, that we need to come out of that with as many options as possible for them to get involved in the school and to feel that they're a part of something. That's what I believe. I don't even talk about wins and losses and success and all that stuff. That's the easy part, is trying to figure out who the best team is and if you're the best player. All that stuff is easy. But the value of sport is to be a great extension of the of your education, so that you're taking, in essence, another class. You just happen to take it after school instead of during school hours, or sometimes before school. And that's it. And then through that, you learn, you become tougher, you become better, you become, you have a better sense of humor, you can take it and you can give it back to people, and you can understand when they're kidding you, when they're serious, all that stuff that goes with it. And oh yeah, there's a discipline component, because guess what? I'm not going to go out and drink because I'm not willing to sacrifice what I put so much time into in the form of my eligibility in the sport. All those things are built into, are baked into sports. And that's why I hope they pass this bill to play boys volleyball, because it is another extension of education and is one great class to take. Speaking of which, Henry Lake is the tutor. He is next on CCO.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details, or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.